take on the 7th-ranked Class 1A Wilton Beavers to open up district play here at home. Tonight is a much more comfortable night than we've had the past 2 weeks, with temperatures in the mid-70s, maybe the low 70s, and very little wind. The flags are pretty stagnant tonight, so should be a more typical night for football than what we've seen the last couple of weeks. It's been pretty warm. Cobras have been out on the field for a period of time, going running through their pregame warm-ups, and fans are starting to file into the complex. The Cobra Club's over at the entrance selling Cobra apparel. The cheerleaders are getting set up. They'll be making their way here to the front of the grandstands to get the crowd ready to cheer on the Cobras as they take on the Wilton Beavers. I want to thank all our listeners that have tuned in over the past 2 weeks and welcome any first-time listeners to tonight's broadcast. It's really simple to follow the Cobras all season long on KIIC Radio. As you can visit KIICradio.com, click on the Listen Live tab, and then select KIIC.8 from our menu. Or if you're traveling and cannot tune in at home from your computer, simply download the KIIC Thunderbolt app from your appropriate app store onto your smartphone, and you can listen to us on the go from anywhere around the world. It's a great way to follow the 2013 Cobras. Well, last year, you know, the Cobras came up on the short end of the stick, Mike, 28-7 in a game that was really tight, you know, through the first half. But in the second half there, the Beavers seemed to prove to be too much for the Cobras. But it's a little different story this year. I think the Cobras are playing much like a team. We got great senior leadership, a lot of kids that have stepped into roles and filled some of the spots vacated by seniors. So I'm really excited to see what transpires tonight.
Well, I think that's right, Amos. I mean, anytime you talk about high school football, I mean, it's such a game of highs and lows. And I think, you know, which team will come out tonight and be the one that's more motivated, which one will have the fire and which one will have the spark, and which team will come out here and try to get the early lead. And that's such a big deal when you talk about high school football. And I'm just really excited to see what Sigurd and Kyoto has to offer tonight against these Wilton Beavers. I know they're up there in the rankings a little bit, but Sigurd, he's coming off a great big win over Peak and Packwood, and I'm just excited to see what they can do tonight.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that win last week, and it was one that, you know, the last 2 weeks the Cobras have been out there on the field playing, and Central Lee the first week scored fairly quickly. Pekin did the same last week. I'm hoping that this week we don't get some of that same trickery early on in the game. But the thing that has impressed me a lot about the Cobras has been the fact that they have not held their heads low, that they've allowed those big plays to happen early on, but they regrouped, they took care of business, and in the end, they came out victorious both weeks. So that's a sign that I believe this team's got something that that we haven't seen in a couple of years.
Well, and I think that's right. I mean, I think as you move forward and strengthening your program and anything else, the biggest thing is moving forward and getting in. How do you react to adversity? And you know, being down both games there early in the first quarter and coming back and getting a victory last week, I think that was huge, and it has to raise spirits. And hopefully they come out and they're the team that's got a little more momentum tonight in the first quarter, and hopefully we can show those Wilton Beavers what we're all about tonight right from the get-go.
Yeah, you know, we talk about Wilton, and Wilton obviously has captured the minds of many people throughout the state. They got some weapons that we obviously have heard about have read about. It looks like this Snyder kid, you know, he's rushed for close to 200 yards over the year. I've looked at some articles on him. I think he's one of the guys that we're going to have to keep a pretty keen eye on as we go throughout the night here tonight. I think they're a very balanced team, though, as well. I know that they've been very very lethal in the air, in their passing game, and they got a quarterback that's got a couple of years' experience. So it's going to test the Cobras' defense, no doubt. But it'll be interesting to see how the Cobras handle that in this 3-5 defense that I've talked to you about here over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I can agree more. You know, being in that 3-5 defense, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of hold them between their mixed attack between passing and running. You know, they've passed for almost 430 yards. They're coming on the year and just probably shy of that on rushing, so they're pretty balanced. This 3-5 defense, it'll be interesting just to see what they do against the Beavers tonight, especially against the pass. I hope they're able to get a good rush on the passer, and we'll see what kind of happens as far as that goes. But I'm excited to see what the defense can do.
Yeah, you know, the Cobras just took the field. They tonight they're in their purple uniforms. Not necessarily uncustomary. At home, they have a tendency to sometimes wear their black uniforms, sometimes wear their purple uniforms. I don't know for sure if purple uniforms mean this is a big game or what. I've heard that the captains generally decide what they're going to wear at home, but they look mighty fine in their purple uniforms with their black numbers. It's going to make it kind of tough for you and I to decide who what number's making the tackle or what number's running the ball, but they're in their black pants and their purple uniforms versus their yellow pants and their white and their black tops tonight. So we're just a minute 29 away from kickoff. The captains are going to be assembling here at midfield in just a few seconds to decide the coin flip, and we'll be ready to get started with this big game between Sigourney Kidd and number 7 ranked Wilton in Class 1A. Expecting an exciting one here tonight for sure, and it is great weather for football.
Thank goodness. It is finally great weather in the state of Iowa today. This weather's kind of turned, and it kind of starting to feel like fall. And that sure is a joy for me, and I think every farmer probably in the state of Iowa, if we could use a shot more rain and make everybody a little more happy, I assume, but a little too late maybe, possibly, but
yep.
It's still a great Friday night, and I'm excited to see how this game turns out.
I am as well. Couple points of interest, you know, for Cobra fans that are listening in, either from the Sigourney community or from the Kyoto community. Again tonight, as you knew last week, Peyton Crawford did not dress last week. Peyton is not dressing again tonight. So I would assume that we're probably going to see a lot of number 11, Nate Sarin, and I do see that Nate is out on the field. Not sure what's going on there with Peyton, if it's a little worse than what he thought following that Central League game, or if he's just playing it cautiously. You know, he's a young guy, he's a sophomore. It wouldn't be probably in his best interest to tear it up, you know, this early in his high school career, you know.
And I couldn't agree more, Amos. I mean, it's better to be on the safe side here on an injury like that. Knowing from a little bit of experience, I mean, it's better to take it easy and hopefully – you know, I know it's a big district game tonight, and hopefully he's got some good rest this week, and hopefully he can get back in pads next week and be able to go. But it's better to be safe tonight, and hopefully Nate can pick up the slack and kind of lead us there in the backfield, and we can kind of go from there.
I'm hoping so as well. You know, last week as well, we had looked at it. It appears that the Cobras have elected to kick off to Wilton. It's like they got their kick team on the field. Last week, our primary kicker, Colby Kirkhove, hurt himself down in the backyard brawl against Pekin, and it looks like the kicking duties tonight are going to fall into the hands of Cole Strigel, it appears. There again, in those dark uniforms, it's very hard to tell. But I do believe that's Cole Strigel set to kick it off from his own 40-yard line. Back deep to receive for the Beavers. It appears that it'll be Schneider. And the clock is set. And we are ready to play some football here in Sigourney, Iowa. It's a Sigourney kid of Cobras against the Wilton Beavers. Here's a swoop kick picked up at the 25. Carried forward for a short gain. Gain of about 5 on that return to about the 30. Ball carrier there was Harris. Pick up a maybe 6 yards.
Looks to me like the tackle was made by Green, number 51 for the Cobras.
We're probably going to hear his name a lot tonight, Mike. Jeremiah gets all over the field. They come out in a shotgun, give to Snyder. Snyder off the right side moves forward for about 4 yards.
Great fill there by Strigel. He really stuck his nose in that hole and closed the gap rather fast also.
Does look like he picked up about 5. It's going to bring up 2nd down and 5 from right around the 35-yard line. Beavers are in that shotgun formation. Here's Hessler back to pass. Caught by Snyder. Snyder with a big gain. Down to about the Cobra 30. Brought down there by Nate Seren and
Gretter, I believe.
And Gretter. Nice first down play. Just a little
slow getting out in the flat, I think. He kind of slipped out of the backfield and got out in that flat area, and we just couldn't get out there quick enough. That rover, that safety, that outside linebacker needs to get out there just a nickel faster, and I think that'll help quite a bit.
Here's Hensler back to pass again out of that gun, going down the sideline. Great coverage by Griner, but a flag on the play.
Yeah, I believe, he didn't quite get his head turned around quite fast enough, and I'm afraid we might be the downfall of getting the flags here.
I don't know. That's kind of frustrating because it looked to me like it was just great defense all the way down along the sidelines, but they're going to be a little touchy, it looks like, to me tonight, so we're going to have to play hands-off coverage on these receivers from Wilton.
Yeah, I think you're right, Amos. I mean, especially going the first quarter here, I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, guy needs to make sure they play good defense and stay in front and, get that hand down and knock that ball down.
Yeah. So that's going to bring up 1st down and 10 from right around the 15-yard line. So Wilton is threatening here. Here's Hessler with the keeper. Hessler around the right corner, still going.
Looks like he's knocked out by number 4 there.
That'd be Ben Horace. Brought down real close to the 3-yard line. There is a flag on the play.
Where that flag spotted, it might possibly be a hold, I would say.
It's right in that area where you would typically see a hold called. It'd be a great break for the Cobras this early in the game with the Beavers moving the ball as effectively as they are. We haven't seen the indication. It is holding against the Beavers. That'll back them up 10 yards. Take them back to around the 24-yard line. It's going to bring up 1st down and long from the 24. Hessler in that gun. Two receivers split left. Hessler back to pass. He's going deep. He's going to keep it. Pursued by Jeremiah Green and knocked out around the 11, maybe the 10-yard line. So he got about half of that back, maybe a little more than half.
And that was great penetration on the Mike linebacker blitz up the middle there, Amos. I think, Cole Strigel really flushed that thing to the outside, and Green made a great play on the outside. But that was a big, big part of the Strigel blitzing up the middle there on that one.
Wilton back to pass again out of the gun. They had trips to the left. Tesler flushed out. Caught by, it looks like, Snyder and in for the touchdown. That quick and that easy. This doesn't fare well this early in the game. They made that look fairly simple, Mike, as they marched that ball down with a couple big plays.
You know, I think it's one of those things. I mean, they're kind of attacked in those flats a little bit, and their outside linebackers aren't probably maybe staying home. They're kind of getting their eyes caught in the backfield just a little bit, and they get their eyes, locked on what's going on up there and catch their reads. Cover those flats. They're really attacking those right now, and I think if we get that figured out, we'll be in better shape.
Timson on to attempt the extra point, and the extra point is good. So with 10:37 to go in the first quarter, Wilton takes a 7-0 lead here on the Cobras. You know, Micah, this is nothing uncustomary for the Cobras. The last 2 weeks, they've been down fairly early. And as I said earlier on before we started the broadcast, that this is not a team that hangs their head low. They can go back now, listen to their coaches, learn from what just transpired, make some corrections, and get back and get after. But what we do need to see now out of the Cobras is we've got to see a sustained drive and hopefully a drive that will put some points on the board and get right up there and tie this game up on this drive.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Amos. I think, like we talked before the game, and, with these high school kids, I mean, they're young kids, and with anything, it's how they're going to respond to adversity. And I just hope coming out here, and they keep their heads up and drive the ball right back down the field and give us a good look here.
Looks to me like number 62, East, on to kick, taken by Griner at about the 5, up across about the 30. There is a flag on the play. We'll have to wait to see what the flag is.
Great move by Griner there. He bounced that thing to the outside. He was kind of caught there about the 20 and bounced it for another 10 yards. We'll have to see what this flag's all about.
Yeah, you know, we talked about Colton Griner last week down at Pekin. You know, Colton's been kind of the return guy the last, as a sophomore, junior, and now as a senior. He knows what he's doing back there when he takes the ball. He does a really good job at reading his blocks and generally can be fairly dangerous out of that position.
Well, I think that's just it. He, some people might call him a little undersized, but I think I call him shifty.
I think that's the best word to use to describe him.
I think he's got the ability to bounce at any time, and I think that gives teams probably some headaches, and we like that about him.
Appears to be holding on the Cobras on the return. They're going to be backed up 10 yards, going to end up being first down and 10 from their own 12-yard line. The Cobras come out in that familiar single-wing offense to start tonight. Here's Lyle back to pass. Caught over the middle by Swearingen. Swearingen upfield to about a 12-yard gain. Nice pass by Lyle. Great reception by Swearingen. Swearingen filling in as well for the injured Kirko in that quick end position.
Well, I think they just kind of caught him off guard there, Amos. The flats are kind of bare, and they were in that 5-2 defense up front, and everybody's kind of had their eyes locked in the backfield there. So,
nice game. Griner in motion. Here's the handoff to Saren. Saren up the middle. Nice game. And still on his feet, brought down after about a 9-yard gain. Takes the ball up to about the 34. Looks like they're going to place it around the 34, 35-yard line. Nice gainer. The Cobras probably have watched a large amount of film on the Beavers, so they know how they can move the ball here against them. Still in that single wing. Here's Lyle back to pass again, going deep down the field to Griner. Griner's got the ball at the 30. Being chased down, he's finally brought down at the 5-yard line. Nice big gainer as Lyle hooks up with Griner for a big gainer. Wow, Micah, that was a nice play, nice design, well-thrown ball. Griner ran under it.
Oh, great play. I think, it's a big attribute for them selling the fake in the backfield. They had everybody from the Wilton defense with their eyes locked in the backfield, and he was wide open and room to go. So
here are the Cobras from around the five. Nothing going there. Siren tries that up the middle, but Wilton's right there to bring him down for no gain. Maybe potentially a loss, maybe. We'll call it no gain, but it's going to bring up second down and about second down and goal from about the five. Call it the five and a half. Still in that single wing. As you know, the Cobras have shown a little bit of a spread offense this year, but they're holding steady. Here's Siren with the run to the left, to the right side, and cut down at about the 10. Loss of about four on that play. I don't know for sure what happened there, Micah, but somebody potentially missed the block, and Nate got caught back there for a fairly sizable loss.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. The defensive end there got great pressure upfield, and we might have just missed the block there, and he caught a seam, and then knocked him back off his route, and it kind of cost us big time.
That brings up third down and 10 from the 10. Obviously, third and goal, but they are on the 10. Cobras need to respond here. Here's Lyle. Lyle being pursued. Lyle out the pass. Nothing going. Oh, wait a minute.
He lateraled to Jake Green as he was going down, and he ran it in.
I don't know what just happened, but thank goodness we've got two sets of eyes here. Because that,
as he was going down, he lateraled to Green, and he ran it into the touchdown.
Wow, I should be way more excited than I am.
Score
6-7 with 7:50 left in the first quarter. Looked like he was going to be thrown back for a loss, and all of a sudden, boom, I see this person squirting off towards the end zone, and before we know it, the referee's got his hands in the air. Signals.
Yeah, it was kind of mad confusion, number 51 came down with the ball, and he squirted into the end zone. He did an awfully quick manner, too. I don't think the Wilton Beavers knew what was going on either.
Strigel wanted to attempt the extra point, and it is good. That ties it up 7-7 with 7 minutes and 50 seconds to go in the first quarter. So, Micah, you know, just as I said at the start of the broadcast, one of those things that has impressed me immensely about the Cobras is in each of their first two games this year, the opposing team has come out and struck early. It's almost like it takes one drive for the kids to get their wits about them. But in each of those other two games, they've responded with their own score on the next drive, and that tells me that these kids are not hanging their heads low. They're going back. They know what they need to do. They execute. Now, it wasn't a flawless drive, but still, a lot of good things. Set up by a big pass play there, Lyle the Griner. But those are the types of things that it's going to take for the Cobras to stay in this and potentially come home victorious tonight.
Well, I think you're right, Amos. You know, the big pass play, hopefully that was the momentum switch that we were kind of looking at and we're talking about earlier in the game. And you know, great play by Lyle and Green down there on the goal line. Heads up play, and hopefully another squib kick here. The way it looks, Amos.
Yep, squib kick, taking it to 40, moved forward about 3 yards. Going to spot it about the 43, and the Cobras are going to run their defense back out on the field. So it'll be interesting to see how the Cobras have made some adjustments to take some of those key players out of this. Etzler's been pretty dangerous from that shotgun position, and we obviously got Schneider and Schmidt as some dangerous weapons. In that shotgun again, here's Etzler back to pass. Being rushed, caught by, I believe, Schneider. It was Schneider. Caught by Schneider for about an 8-yard gain, but there is a flag on the play, and I believe the call is holding on the Beavers, so that will back them up.
And that was a nice job by the safety, Greider and Horace, to come over there and make the tackle. The outside linebacker was just maybe a step behind there, and then that's why they completed that pass. But if we can get up on that, I think we'll be okay.
Wasting no time. Well, wait a minute. Yep. The Beavers were ready, set to run another play. Hall moves them back deep because they marked that off from the spot of the foul, so it's first down and long, and I mean long. It looks like about 27. The ball is backed up to about the 25-yard line. Here's Hessler with a three pass. Oh, dangerous pass.
Dangerous.
Dangerous pass. Broke up. Incomplete.
Griner makes a great play there. He reads it all the way, and that wide receiver screen comes in, and he broke that up, and that could have been big for them, or it could have been fairly dangerous. So there was a lot of covert jerseys there kind of waiting for that, and that was a big-time play right there.
No doubt, Mike. They probably watched film. They kind of know what these Beavers are going to do, and that's what they need to do. Three receiver set to the right. Hessler back to pass, looking left, going deep down the sideline. Griner there with great coverage, but it is incomplete, out of bounds.
Just a skosh out of bounds there, the way it looks. And, you know, Colton was right there on his hip and probably stayed right with him. And I think that was the only place that throw could have been made. If it's any farther inside, it's maybe even intercepted.
Extremely impressive quarterback, Hessler is. I think he's not a first-year starter. I believe he's been around there for a year or two. And he's proving that he is a very proficient passer. He had it on the mark. It just happened to be out of bounds. There again, three receivers set to the right, one to the left. Hessler back to passing that gun. Here comes a rush. Oh, and he is brought down this time by, I believe, Kevin Weber. They finally got to him.
Yeah, and they did, and they brought some pressure from the outside there. With one of those outside linebackers, they brought some pressure off the edge along with Nate Searin coming up the middle. You know, that's the thing, you know, in those third down long situations, you got to bring some pressure to get those guys, not let him have all that time to be able to throw back there.
Colton Griner back to receive the punt. Very, very poor punt. Doesn't even get back to the initial first down marker. Out of bounds at about the 47-yard line. Yes, thank you. 47-yard line. It's going to set up first down and 10 for the Cobras. So, you know, mighty impressive stand there defensively.
Great defensive stand. I think, you know, the one thing, you know, I was worried about coming in there with a quarterback that likes to throw the ball like they do, you know, how much quick pressure can you put on him to knock him off his game? In the first series, we kind of laid back a little bit. In the second series, it seems like we kind of brought the heat. So
agreed. Handoff here to Searin up the middle. Nothing going. They've sniffed that play out. Nothing going for Nate there. It's going to bring up second down and 10. So we'll see what the Cobras got up their sleeve here on second and 10. The passing game has been surprisingly efficient for the Cobras here in the opening quarter. We'll see if maybe Coach Jensen is gonna think about maybe putting the ball in the air again this drive. Here's Griner with the ball. A nice cut up the middle.
Oh, he did a great job bouncing that outside, Amos. That thing was dead in the water, and with about a 1 yard gain, he bounced that thing for about 8 more yards. You know, and actually a great block there by number 3 also.
Swearingen.
Yes. Yeah, he had a great seal block on that to kick his guy inside, and Colton just kind of bounced that outside.
You know, that's the thing about Griner. He is so good at finding that opening, and he's so quick at making those cuts, and he can turn a no-gainer into 4 or 5 yards, no problem. Here's Lyle up the middle with the keeper. Going to be good enough for a first down. They're going to move the chains on this deal. A pickup of about 3, potentially 4. Going to bring up first and 10 from Wilton's 41-yard line. So we are across midfield and putting a nice little drive together, being a little more conservative than on the first drive, but moving the ball very efficiently. Cobra's in that single wing set. Here's Lyle back to pass this time. Oh, but good pressure by Wilton, and Lyle goes down for about a four-yard loss.
I think that's one of those things, you know, with the mass confusion in the backfield, the spin back going in the fake. One of those guys just maybe missed a block up front, and he just squeaked through, and there was nowhere to go. And by the time he turned around to throw the ball, he was in trouble.
Looked like Gray, their middle linebacker, in on that on that tackle. Here's the Cobras handoff to Griner. Griner got the left side. It's up about what Lyle gave up on the last play, maybe a yard more. I was going to bring up about 3rd and 10, 3rd and 9, but a nice run there by Colton Griner. It is, in fact, going to be about 3rd and 10. The Cobras need to pull something out here to keep the ball in their hands. Still sticking with that single-wing offense.
Timeout called here, I believe.
Timeout, Sigourney Sciotta. So Coach Jensen wants to talk it over. You know, I think he understands this is kind of an important drive, and this could be a momentum shifter. If we're able to pick this up, punch this thing in the end zone, you know, this could be big for the Cobras and the momentum that they carry in to the end of the first quarter.
Well, and I couldn't agree more, Amos. And honestly, they're kind of in tricky field position right now. If you don't get it 3rd and 10 here, what do you do? Do you go on 4th and 10, or do you pin them back deep? And there's no win tonight or anything like that. But still, you know, I think you're right. You know, momentum and where right now we're still late in the first quarter, but you know, who's going to jump kind of on the other guy's throat first?
I agree, and you know what, it will be interesting if they're unable to pick this up, what Coach Jensen will end up doing on 4th down. You know, we are in Wilton territory. We're on about their 41. It'll be interesting, but we got 2 downs to decide that. Here's Lyle in the gun. We got receivers set out. Oh, it's a quick pass to Griner out on the flat. Griner gets loose. Oh, Griner. Oh, and that almost looked like a horse collar, but they're not throwing any flag. But Griner definitely picks up more than enough for the first down. Pickup of about
18, I believe.
About 18. Good eyes there, Micah.
Great play by Griner there. He was caught in the backfield and makes a great play and bounces that thing out and left that guy from Wilton with the jack laying in his shorts. Pardon my French, but there's nothing left out there.
He made it look easy. Cobra set again. Griner in motion. Griner with the ball again. This time not so fortunate. Getting banged around like a ping pong ball inside there up the middle. Might push forward for a yard, possibly two. But pretty tough going that time.
Looks like about 3, Amos.
Okay, yeah, a little better. It's a little hard to call from up here, but good tough running there by Griner. It's going to bring up 2nd down 7 from right around the 23-yard line. Cobra's looking very impressive on the offensive side of the ball. Griner in motion again. Lyle up the center. Not much there. A lot of the Wilton Beavers able to sniff that one out. Might have got a yard, maybe two. It's going to bring up 3rd down and about 5 from just about the Wilton 20.
And another big play here, Amos. You know, 3rd down and in about 5. And as we get down here, these 3rd downs are, I mean, they're huge. And the nice thing about it is Sigourney Keogh has been able to convert most of these 3rd downs so far. It'd be interesting to see what kind of play they got called up here and if we can convert this.
Yeah, you know, Coach Jensen has done a good job of calling plays that are putting them in a position to convert on these. Oh, here's Sharon. Oh, there is a flag thrown, but it appeared that Nate Sharon would have had enough for the first down right at the marker, but there was a flag penalty marker thrown. So we'll wait to see and sort this one out with the officials, see what the call is. Legal block is the call, so that is going to set them back. Kind of a costly penalty when you're this deep in the opponent's territory, Micah.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Amos. But, you know, moving the ball back there, now we have a third down and long situation. And it's going to be almost a pass or a trickery type play to convert this. That's a tough break for the Cobras right there.
That is a tough break. I suppose this is going to be a 15-yarder. It's going to set them back in third and extremely long territory, at almost third and 20, third and 21, from around the 36-yard line of the Wilton Beavers. But, you know, that's not out of the ordinary. You know, I've watched these Cobras the last 2 weeks, and it's not out of the question for Coach Jensen to pull out some type of trickery. They are in the spread offense here this time with Searin in motion. Lyle back to pass, and he does. He lobs it up. He's got a man open, but just overthrows Weber down around the 5-yard line. Boy, if he would have just taken a little bit off that, Micah, we had 6 written all over that deal.
Yeah, no doubt, Amos. You know, he had room to burn there, and you know, the Wilton defender was probably 3-4 yards behind him. If you can shorten that up a little bit, it had 6 written all over it.
Yeah, nicely thrown ball by Lyle, and you know, Luke is a very experienced quarterback. He's been in that position for the last 2 years, so he knows what he's doing. The difference being that the Cobras have not generally been a passing team. They've thrown numerous passes this year compared to what we normally see. Here's a quick punt. They set up in the single wing format, and it appeared that that Weber may have been the individual back in the backfield that grabbed that and did a quick punch. It was Weber. Touchback, going to bring the ball out to the 20. So they faked like they were going to go for it, but then they
were set just a little bit deeper in the backfield, and it kind of made the guy wander, and they quick kicked it there, and if he could get a little more height on there, it may not have went out the back of the end zone, but you get that.
So here comes the Beavers on offense again, and this is Snyder. Not much going, I'll tell you. Very stingy defense there by the Cobras.
Yeah, and, you know, number 62, he really filled that hole.
Tucker Fowler,
yeah. Yeah, he filled that hole, and he clogged her up. Gained about 4 there, but he had his nose stuck right in there on him right away.
Tucker's done a very nice job.
They're in the high formation here now.
Yeah, high formation. They are not away from the gun. Hetzler with the keeper. Oh, he kind of trips himself up, but he does pick up enough for the first down. Let's see, well, maybe not. See where they mark it. They may mark it just shy of the first down marker. Is Neem up the touchdown just prior? They are going to take an official's timeout to measure. But you know, that's the first we've seen of that I formation. So
yeah, that kind of looked like a page out of the old Tom Osborne Nebraska playbook there. A little bit of the option left. You know, the tight end came down on the D end, and he made his read off that and picked it upfield and had a nice gainer. But hopefully, you know, in the 3-5 defense, those outside linebackers are able to contain here, and we can put a stop to that here rather soon.
Yeah. It's going to bring up third down. They were short, you know, so we'll see. We'll see, third and inches, Micah. It's going to be tough here, but I would assume they're just going to pound this thing up the middle.
Formation again.
Coming out of the eye, I'm sure we're probably going to see that pullback right up the middle. In fact, Cobras move forward. There's not much going. Not much going. It is definitely going to depend on the spot.
Sabinville gets a great push there, and then they get a great push from their defensive line there, and Striegel stuck his nose in there and made it really, really close. It looks like they're just shy from holding them from that first down.
Yeah, they do mark it first and 10 from right at the 30, their own 30, and here's Hetzler. Hetzler with the keeper. Oh, stutter step, and then brought down quickly. There again, it looks like Brown, 77 in on that tackle, Micah. Not much going with the I formation to this point. He picked up about 3 yards, going to bring up about 2nd and 7.
Yeah, that was another option right play, and I think Berg made a great play there. He forced that back inside. And, you know, forced it back to those other linebackers, and it made a great play.
Here's Snyder up the middle, nothing going. that is not going to work. I think they're probably going to have to go back to their spread if they're going to move the ball as efficiently as they did on their first drive. We are not seeing them gain the kind of yardage that they were when they were spread out in that shotgun formation.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Amos. I think, you know, the teeth of this defense is, you know, in the box, and that they're going to have to run to the outside or throw the ball around. Here they come back out in the spread.
Absolutely. Just as we talk about it, they come with three receivers split right, one left. Hetzler back to pass across the middle, and it is incomplete. Caught by Snyder. Very, very tough catch to make. I don't know how he came up with it.
I don't either. Berg had great defense there. He was all over him, and actually I thought he maybe knocked it out, but it sounds like they said he came down with it. So,
going to move the chains again, first and 10, this time from about the 42-yard line of the Wilton Beavers. Hetzler back in that shotgun with the five-receiver set. Hetzler back to pass. Hetzler being pressured, flushed out to the right side, tosses it downfield, and caught. Caught at about the Cobra 38-yard line. Catch made there by, not sure who that individual is.
I believe 32.
That'd be Snyder again.
I think it was one of those things, just kind of a busted play, and he was kind of running around back there. And, Greta did a good job of covering on the backside there. Did about all he could, but that guy kind of caught a seam on the backside and kind of got open, and it is what it is, and there was kind of nobody home. So.
Yeah, good play. That brings us to the end of the first quarter, believe it or not, folks. With the score tied 7-7, Cobra's showing a lot of fight against this number 7 ranked Wilton Beavers. Micah, I've had the opportunity to watch them the last 2 weeks, and you know, not everything has went our way the last couple of years. You know, there's a lot of strong tradition over here at Sigourney Toyota. Got a lot of pride. We've had a lot of excellent teams over here. And the last couple of years, we've just kind of struggled a little bit, you know. But I talked about this at the end of the game last week down at Pekin. This senior leadership is something that I believe is so critical. We got a great group of seniors here this year. The Guffey's kids ready every week to play. They're great leaders. They all know what their job is when they step onto the field, let it be offensively or defensively. And they're not backing down from this seventh-ranked team here in Class 1A in the Wilton Beavers.
I mean, no, they're not, Amos, and I think you're right. I mean, senior leadership is a huge deal where we're at right now.
Here's Hetzler with the handoff to Snyder. Snyder, a pretty good hole over the right side. It's up about 7. It's going to bring up second down, and
it's kind of hard to see, but I think Striegel came up with the tackle there. It's kind of trailing behind the play, and then Snyder made a cut, and he caught his feet up, and thank goodness, we stopped from any bigger game.
That's right. It is actually second down and 4. Nice gainer there by Wilton. Cobras need to come up big here. They're in that familiar shotgun look with a five-receiver set. Nice toss out to the flat there. Not covered. Don't know for sure whose responsibility that was. And Colton Griner came up with the tackle there, but not before they have enough for the first down.
You know, and like we talked before, Amos, you know, when they go in this quick set spread formation, you know, the biggest thing is how much pressure are we going to be able to get on this quarterback. We can't let him have time to throw to the outside like he is.
That's right, and they are in a hurry-up type offense, and same play. They come back to that same play, and they pick up another 10 yards on it. They are really speeding the pace of play, and that's making causing a little bit of confusion for the Cobras as we as they start knocking on the door. They're down there inside the 10-yard line. Will
they come quick again the way it looks?
This is a no-huddle offense, and Hetzler's in the gun again with those receiver sets, that five receivers. Hetzler flushed out. He's going to take it, but nice play. Nice play for Luke Lyle to come up from that cornerback position and cut him off short of the end zone. Looks to me like it's going to bring up second and goal from around the 5-yard line.
And great play by Luke. She just stepped up and made a big time play there. You know, it was one on one, and the quarterback tried to make a move there, and he stepped up and made a great tackle to kind of save the day in that situation.
Wilton does go huddle this time, but they still have that 3 receiver set to the right, 2 to the left. Ketzler back to pass, running again, running to the right side this time. Pursued, comes back across, throws back across the field, and it is a touchdown for Wilton. It's a far end of the field, folks. I don't know for sure who made that reception, but a well-designed play there. And as Ketzler, he's such a weapon for this Beavers team. As he starts to flush out, you know, somebody has to break down and pursue him, and as a result, sooner or later someone's going to be open, Micah.
Well, and I think that's kind of one of those things. I think you know, SK has kind of caught on their heels there a little bit. They went to a quick offense, and it looked like we only rushed 3 there. We didn't get a lot of pressure on him. He had a little extra time, and he kind of caught that receiver going across the back of the end zone. You know, it's going to be a key thing here, you know, as we move forward in this game and they're in that spread offense, you know how we're going to get pressure on the quarterback to kind of stop him. I mean, that can be big.
That's right. Timpson on to attempt the extra point. It is good. That takes our score, Wilton 14, Cobra 7 with 9:59 left to play before half. We'll see if the Cobras can answer with their own sustained drive here on offense, Micah. They seem to have been able to do it last time Wilton scored. We'll see what they've got in the tank this time as we come out. We've got that familiar set with Griner back deep to receive.
Wilton, yeah, and I think that's a big thing. You know, we talked about adversity, earlier in the first quarter, and you know, how are they going to respond? You know, a big penalty in the last drive kind of stopped us, but if we can clean up that a little bit on the offensive side of the ball, this could be big.
Deep kick taken at about the 20-yard line, brought up across the 25 to about the 26. I believe that ball was taken by Berg, number 22, Berg. So the Cobras will start from their own 26-yard line, down 14-7 with 9:53 left to go in the second quarter.
This is a big drive right here.
This will be a big drive. You know, they're coming out in that single wing set with Lyle out, the spin back, Kreiner in motion in that wing back spot. Lyle keeper up the middle. Kind of tough going, but it appears that he's
great initial surge by the offensive line. The offensive line got a great push there, and it seems like they had a linebacker blitz through there, and that's probably where he got tripped up. He kind of squeaked through, but the offensive line really got a good push.
You know, we don't talk much about the offensive or defensive line, but, you know, I have been very impressed with what the offensive line has done with all the voids that were vacated last year with the seniors, but they have done a remarkable job the first 2 weeks. Look to be doing the same thing here this week. Here's Griner cutting loose. Nice play on second down and 7. Griner appears to be very close to the marker.
Yeah, there you go again. I mean, he kind of looked like he was trapped inside, and he sucked that defensive end in and kicked it to the outside and made that corner have to make that play. You know, and that play, anytime he kicks it outside, he's dangerous.
He's very dangerous. You mentioned it early on. He's extremely shifty, and you can see that just on that play right there, how shifty he is. He can make people miss so easy. He's a fun back to watch. Here's a direct snap to Nate Sarin up the middle. Nice game. We'll take that. You know, that's your typical 3 yards, 3, maybe 4 yards for Nate Sarin up the middle. Nate Sarin in that tailback position, filling in for the injured Peyton Crawford, who normally runs that position.
Yeah, and anytime you can get a push from your offensive line like that and get a good chunk of 4 yards on the first down, it makes play calling a whole lot easier on second down.
I can only imagine. Here's Lyle with the give to Griner again. Griner out. Griner's got that corner, but there is a flag on the play. Unfortunately, that flag came in after Griner had already picked up the first down.
It looks to be like almost right back at the line of scrimmage, and that tends to be in the hold the way it looks.
I would say from the vicinity that flag is laying, more than likely that is going to be a hold. Griner had picked up enough and then some for the first down, but this one's going to be brought back. I'm pretty sure it is, in fact, a hold.
Yeah, it's too bad. He looked like he almost had it picked up, about an 18-yard gain there. He bounced that thing to the outside, and once again, they're on the far side of the field. Their defensive end on that side looks to be kind of the weak point right now, and we're kind of trying to attack that, and hopefully we can keep our hands inside on the offensive line and make some improvement there and move forward.
Here's Lyle in the gun. Receiver split out. Lyle's going to keep it this time. Not much going, though. Good pursuit by the Beavers. Potentially got back to the line of scrimmage. Not much more than that. It's going to bring up third down and 15 from around the 31-yard line of the Cobras. So it's unfortunate, Micah, that holding penalty negated that first down that Griner had, but this is what it takes. I mean, they need to fight through this. They need to correct those mental mistakes if they're going to keep with the team the caliber of Wilton.
And it looks like that was tipped there by the defensive end that time. He threw off to the flat, and the ball got popped up, and it's too bad because he was wide open there in the flats. You know, great play call on third down and long. The flats were open. Everybody else was going deep. He was definitely there if he could have just got it over top of that defender there.
That forces a punting situation for the Cobras. I believe it is Cole Strigel on to do the punting duties as well, not just the kicking duties but the punting duties. Back deep to receive are Schneider and Mays. Mays picks it up at the 35 and is brought down by a plethora of Cobras. Nice coverage by the Cobras on that punt return.
Great play by Horace there, and he really got downfield and wrapped him up, and he wasn't getting that one shook loose. That was a great form tackle, you might say, and got him down in great position.
So here come the Beavers again from their own 41-yard line, first and 10. Schneider in motion. Hetzler back to pass. Being flushed out. There's a flag on the play. Hetzler with a big gainer being pursued by Griner. And there is a flag on the play. This will be an interesting one because I saw not only did Griner force Hetzler out, but a Wilton Beaver came in and made a hit on one of our Cobra players, Jeremiah Green. So it'll be an interesting call. I'm not sure which one the official actually is going to call. It'll
be interesting here. We might have offsetting penalties because I'm guessing we have a hold in the backfield also. And then we go from there. I got full picked up.
A lot of hankies out there on the field right now. We'll see what the call is. Yes, indeed.
It was one of those things, you know, with the broken play. He kind of flushed out there, and there was nobody home, and I think that was a...
It was an angry Beaver. They do call personal foul. Holding on Wilton, personal foul on Sigourney Chioda.
So we do have offsetting penalties.
It looks like they're going to march off the...
They'll march off the 10 from the spot of the foul and then come back this way. Honestly, Amos, we're looking probably like we're right back at the line of scrimmage from where we started.
It's going to bring up first and 10. We're just short of the line of scrimmage.
About first and 12. First and 12, right in there.
we've got to do a better job. It appears that the Cobras need to do a better job of keeping their sights on that Hetzler. He's very dangerous from that gun, and they come out in that familiar three receiver set on the right side, two receiver set on the left. Hetzler in the gun, no one in the backfield other than Hetzler. Cobras awaiting the snap. Here's the snap. Hetzler back to pass. Being pursued by Jeremiah Green. Goes deep downfield for Snyder. Snyder had, if that ball were anywhere close to him, it was six.
Because but, you know, the nice thing about it, you know, Jeremiah Green had great pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, his blitz from the outside there, you know, I think that was just enough to make him throw that ball a little bit early and kind of knock him off his route. And so great play by Green from the outside there to hurry the quarterback.
You know, there's so much going on. It's nice to watch. It's fun to watch Jeremiah from that outside. Here's Hetzler with the keeper, but he runs right into a Cobra. Not sure who that was, but he's an excited young man. Looks like
great play by Fowler. Great play by Fowler to fill that hole. You chalk that one up for a three-yard loss.
Absolutely. We're at 3rd and 13. Great, great defensive stand by the Cobras. Ed, what we need now, we can't have a breakdown. We can't afford to allow the Beavers to have a big play here, Mike. We're going to have to.
Yeah, well, remember down and distance, 3rd and 3rd and long, watch the wide receiver screens and things like that.
We'll see what the Cobras do. They're in that familiar five receiver set. Here's Hetzler. He lets it fly downfield. No, they are calling it a completed pass, but
that was really close, David.
That was real close.
That is really close. The Cobra fans aren't happy. He was right on our sideline, and he was really close to being out of bounds there, right around the 31.
I think I had a better view of that than the official did, and it sure appeared to me that he was out of bounds. But they're giving it to him.
I won't disagree with you there, Amos.
Well-thrown ball, taking nothing away from Hetzler. Well-thrown ball, and a great catch there by Schrader. Griner, great coverage. It was just a well-placed ball. Here come the Beavers, 1st and 10 from their 32-yard line. Hetzler flushed out again. Finds Snyder. Snyder on the move down towards the end zone, and they call it a touchdown. So nice play. Nice play as those two hook up again. Hetzler to Snyder. And that Snyder, man, when he gets the ball and gets those wheels turning, he's a tough one to catch. He's a big back, big strong back.
He is quick and shifty. He got out in that flat there. You know, the outside linebacker was about a step behind him. There was no catching him. He was off to the races once he turned that corner.
Timpson on to a 50 extra point again, and it is good. So with 5:46 left in the second quarter, Wilton takes a 21-7 lead over the Cobras.
You know, once again, Amos, we talk about, you know, just a couple costly penalties we're right in this game. We have a holding call, and we had a block in the back call that kind of stalled drives. And, you know, if we could clean up a little bit of that activity, you know, on some of those good runs, we're right there. I mean, we're not that far out with this number 7 Wilton Beaver team.
I agree. You know, you go back to the 1st and 10 that Colton made, and we got the holding call and ran us back 10 yards. You know, things would be an altogether different story if in fact that hold doesn't happen. But this is high school football. They're young kids. These types of things happen, and we learn from it, and we move on, and we'll see what they're made of here. Colton Griner back deep to receive again. And the Wilton Beavers have it teed up and ready to kick. Griner takes it at about the 20, moves upwards to the 25, across the 25 to about the 28-yard line, and that's where the Cobras will start, 1st and 10 from their own 28. We'll Well, this is going to be an important drive here as we head into the last 5.5 minutes of the second quarter before halftime. You know, it'd be nice if the Cobras could punch one in here, but they're going to have to pay attention to detail, take care of their assignments, and execute correctly. Here's Lyle in, under center. Griner bounces it out to the left side. Griner picks up about 5, maybe 6 yards.
Did a nice job again there, Amos, you know, bouncing that to the outside, nothing doing on the inside. He kind of, he bounced her out, and, you know, the defensive end got sucked in once again. He bounced out and got a 5-yard gain. When now we're sitting good with a second and five type of situation.
Do have a couple receivers set, one left, one right. Lyle in that shotgun, straight up the middle. Nice play call there by Coach. Lyle picks up about 3, maybe 4. That's going to bring up about third down and a yard from right around the 38-yard line. So,
and now we're in a more manageable type situation in the third down. Instead of third and long, we're sitting at a third and one, and hopefully we get a good push up front, and looks like we come in tight here, and hopefully we can give them all they want.
Oh, a bobbled snap. Sharon bobbled snap. He's lucky to get back to the line of scrimmage. Didn't quite have his handle on that. Looks like we're fortunate, Micah, there to just end up with no gain. You know, it still stands at fourth down and one. It'd be interesting to see what Coach does on this call. It appears that they're gonna go for it. That's kind of a gutsy call.
We're in a tough field position here, and hopefully, you know, fourth down in a short one. Hopefully the offensive line gets a good surge. Looks like we're going to take a timeout here.
Coach wants to think this one over. Coach Jensen taking a timeout here to talk this over. Very critical play here as we sit.
Huge play.
Fourth and one with 4 minutes and 25 seconds to go, down 21-7. This is an extremely important call for the Cobras. You know, if they pick it up, it's a great call. If they don't, and then we're back on our heels a little bit, and we're gonna have to dig deep to keep these Beavers an explosive offense, I might add, from putting another one in the end zone.
And I think, you know, the one thing about it, Amos, is, you know, as Wilton's been able to throw the ball as well as they have, you know, going through a coach's mind. You got to be thinking a little bit about, you know, how are we going to take care of the clock, and how are we going to, you know, try to milk that, you know, a little bit here too. You know, 4 minutes, we don't want to give them the ball back in good field position with just enough time to throw it around back there either. So I think that's a great smart timeout. You kind of, you know, just regroup and rethink, and hopefully this is a great big play, I think.
That's huge. You know, hopefully we won't be talking about this one at the end of the game. It'll be interesting to see what the Cobras do. It appears that they're going to go for it. There is nobody back deep, so we'll see what transpires here on fourth, and they might be trying to call them offsides. They are, in fact, going to actually go for it, and it appears that Colton Griner took the handoff from Lyle, and he does come up short. No gain there, so the Wilton Beavers will take over on downs in pretty good field position from the Cobras' 38-yard line.
And they weren't fooling anybody there. Wilton brought the house. You know, fourth down and short there. They had 10 guys in the box, and they just got a great push up front.
They did. You know, this the Wilton offense, they stick with that three-receiver set left and two right, and Hessler lays it up. He just kind of sits back there and throws it up and lets his guys run under it, and this time well covered by Colton Griner.
Great coverage by Colton. He's right there on his hip, and you know, he put the ball only where his receiver could catch it, yet it was still too far out of reach. Colton's right there. That's probably not the guy I'd want to be picking on, because sooner or later, if he underthrows it, it could be back for six, I'm afraid. So great coverage there, and second down and 10, you're the way it looks.
No, they go set in the back, the pistol formation, and Snyder takes a handoff from Hensler. and moves forward to about the 35. It's going to bring up third down and six, I believe, from around the 35-yard line. So nice play there. Nice defensive play by the Cobras to hold Snyder to no more than 4 yards.
That's the first time we've seen that pistol formation tonight, I think. We've seen a few different formations, but that's the first time I've seen that on the first down, or on the second down.
We're back to that familiar three-receiver set to the left with one right, and Snyder in the backfield. Here's Hetzler on the move again. Very shifty quarterback. Hetzler still on his knees, on his feet. Finally brought down to his knees, but not until he does have enough to pick up a first down. So on third and seven, Hetzler takes off and picks up enough for a first down, carrying the ball down to about the 23, 24-yard line.
I believe that was Fowler there that forced him out of the pocket and made him run down and flushed him out, but to no avail.
Hetzler back pass again. That almost should be called offensive pass interference the way I see it.
Yeah, that's a tough call for any referee in the state to make. But he literally draped himself over the defender's back to get that ball.
Yes.
That's probably not exactly what I would have called, I guess. But it results in a touchdown either way, the way it looks.
Well, I'm not one to badmouth the officials. They're right down there on the spot. But very, very good coverage by Greiner on that pass play down in the corner of the end zone. Wilton does punch it in for another touchdown. And Timmons on to attempt the point after. And it is no good. So that takes our score to 27-7. Wilton over Sigourney Kyoto with 3:10 to go before half. You know, Mike, this is going to be absolutely a big series of downs here. You know, they've got to get something going in order to keep themselves in this game.
Well, I think it's just been kind of a tale of two teams. We've been able to move the ball. We've actually been able to throw the ball. We showed we could do that in the first series when we went and marched down the score. The biggest thing is just eliminating the mistakes. And if we cut some of these mistakes out, I think in sustained drives, being able to control this clock and field position are huge things.
They are.
And if we can do a few of those things, it could be a tale of two halves. I mean, it's hard to say right now, but, like we talked, how they overcome adversity here, just 3 minutes and 10 seconds left in the second quarter. We'll kind of see what happens here. It's a big drive.
Yeah, Geese set to kick off again for Wilton. Griner back deep again, and it is a deep kick. This time, I believe, taken by Berg, but well covered by the Beavers of Wilton. Not much going there. Might have brought it back to around the 25-yard line. So the Cobras will start first and 10 from their own 25. That's about as deep as they've been all night long, Mike. And we'll see what the Cobras got up their sleeve here on this next set of downs. We got 3 minutes and 4 seconds left in the second quarter. Wilton leading Sigourney Kyoto 27-7. Here's Lyle back in the gun. Lyle with the keeper up the middle. Get a little yardage.
Nice initial push up front. It's not a big gainer, but it kind of gets us out of our own end zone and, puts us in a second seven situation. But the two guards there, they had a great push up front, and hopefully we can kind of keep working and building off that and as we get into the remaining minutes of the second quarter here.
That brings up second and about eight. From right around the 23, 24-yard line. Not much going up front. I'll tell you, this is a mighty pesky defense that the Wilton Beavers are throwing at them. We knew their offense was going to be explosive when you go online and you look at what they've done in the first two games. But you know what? You got to play both sides of the ball, and these guys got a pretty good defense up.
And right now, I mean, you know, they got 8-9 guys in the box, and they're crowding that line of scrimmage, and it's just hard for us to get anything but outside, and it kind of looks like there's a shotgun formation here.
Here's a little screen pass out to the flat to, I believe, Hahn. It was Weber. Weber on the reception, enough for the first down, picked up a good 11, 12 yards there, moves the chains. Ball's now placed on about the 36-yard line, first and 10 for the Cobras. They are in the spread. Lyle back. Pass out to Griner. Not much gain, but there is a flag on the play. You know, nice little toss out to the side there to Griner. Just not much going. I mean,
great design. Great design play. Just well covered. I think you know, one of those things. You know, it'd be interesting to see what this flag looks like. We got a low block against SK. It's going to move us back there. You know, anytime you have a quick pass to the outside, as an old offensive lineman, you're taught to block them low. There, it looks like they kind of got trouble, one of them, and so we're going to get moved back there five. But
it's a lot of mistakes on behalf of the Cobras here in the first half. It's like this one's going back 15.
First and 27.
First and 27 from, looks like they got them buried back around the 19-yard line. Maybe that's called to 20. And they are in the spread. Got a lot of work to do here to move this ball forward. Here's Lyle with the keeper being flushed out. Flips it off to, I think this time, flags flag in. I'm not sure who he flipped it to this time. It was Jeremiah Green again. That's the play they scored on. That little flip to Jeremiah coming across the center of the field. Lyle flips it to him, but there are flags on the play. It'll be interesting to see what they call here.
And it's kind of a late flag throw. I'm kind of surprised, you know, where the flag placement is. It'll be interesting to see what they call here. Usually, you know, now it's a receiver. You know, he needs to either be on the end of the line that does make sense. You know, he's an interior lineman on the inside there. And, you know, if it's a backwards pass, it's fine. But if it's forwards, he's ineligible. And so that is the right call.
Cobra's kind of shooting themselves in the foot here. It is first and a mile for the Cobras here.
And now we're kind of put in bad position, you know, just as far as play calling. You know, we're kind of winding down the second quarter here, a minute left. And we'll kind of see what we do.
Now here we got a pass at Greter in for apparently Lyle's injured. He's come out of the game. He's standing on the sideline with his helmet off. But Greter with a nice pass there. Greter with a nice pass. It's going to bring up second about 26. As I said, we got about a mile to go to get a first down. And right now, I believe they're just trying to get out of this first half and get into the locker room and make some adjustments.
I believe Nate Perrin was the one on the reception there.
All right, here's Griner, the ball carrier. Griner does catch the corner, but not much going. He's still on his feet, but a whole host of Wilton Beavers there to bring him down. Just great pursuit by the Beavers. As that does bring up third and 26, the time does expire. So, folks, through the first half, here we sit. Wilton 27, Sigourney Kyoto 7. Been an exciting first half, not necessarily to the liking of the Cobra fans, but I'm sure there'll be some adjustments made in the locker room over halftime, and we'll come out and see what those Cobras can do in the second half with these Beavers.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Amos. You know, we talked about it a little bit before the game. You know, this is big, first district game of the year, and, you know, the ins and outs of just the momentum swings have been huge, I think, in the first half. You know, to me, it looks like SK's kind of shot themselves in the foot. They get a couple good drives going, and we kind of hurt our own self. We're just a little mistake away from making big things happen, I think.
Yeah, we'll see what we need to correct some of those mental mistakes that have cost us here on some pretty good plays here in the first half, and we'll see what we can do in regards to slowing those guys down in the second half. Well, we're very fortunate here tonight at halftime to have the opportunity to visit with Coach Dan Stout. Coach Stout is the head volleyball coach at Kyoto, and we want to try to bring a number of other different coaches into our booth during our broadcast throughout the season so that we can hear and talk to those coaches about their programs, about their kids, and their season. And tonight, Coach Stout was kind enough to come up to the booth and spend a little bit of time visiting with Amos Greiner here during the halftime show on KIIC.8. Well, Coach, good to see you.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me up here, Amos.
You bet. Not necessarily the outcome we expected here in the first half for the Cobras, but it is what it is, and we'll see what Coach Jensen can muster up. But as I said, appreciate you joining me here on KIIC here this evening on our station. Want to talk to you a little bit about the volleyball team over at Kyoto. We're going to try to do some of the same with the Sigourney coaches as well. But, you know, I've had the opportunity to attend a few of your games here as of late. Exciting group of girls you got going there. But can you tell us a little bit about how the season's been going to this point, and maybe some of the goals that you've set for the team, the team has set for themselves throughout the 2012 season?
Yeah, we actually started off pretty good. We played a couple tournaments early in the year. Our own Kyoto tournament, we ended up getting third. Went down to Wapello and got second down in their tournament. We played North Mahaska last night up at North Mahaska, and like you said, it was a very tough battle. We jumped off to a good start, you know, and then got beaten a very tough game two that just took all the momentum away from us. And that sport there, kind of like this thing here tonight, once the momentum gets going there, it's tough to get it back. And I thought our kids did a great job of battling in game four last night and ended up, you know, getting beat 25-21. But, you know, the kids that we got out there aren't ever going to quit playing. You know, we got some real, we had a great senior leader in Kelsey Searin hit out of the middle for us. Not a real vocal leader, but you know, she pretty much just plays and the kids follow her. And then we you know, throw in some juniors with Madison Sheets as a good hitter on the outside. And then we bring our defensive wizards out there with Brooks Searin, Callie Greiner, and Abby Schulte setter for us. And, you know, the one thing, I guess, the biggest thing I've really liked so far of the team that we got right now is just our hustle and our determination. And those kids aren't going to quit. You know, they give it all they've got every time they're out there. And, you know, last night I kind of wondered about that in game three. We kind of looked like we kind of gave up a little bit there, but I think we were just so emotionally spent after game two that you know, I kind of challenged them going into game four. I said, you know, this is kind of a make or break for us here of how well we're going to play and what we're going to do all year. And I thought they responded. We ended up getting beat, but I thought, you know, I thought the kids responded to that. They came out, they put the effort forth that they needed to. And, you know, I think we'll have a good season. You know, it's North Mahaska is probably going to be one of those teams that are going to be battling in there for about, oh, probably maybe second, third, or fourth in the conference there somewhere. I know Iowa Valley is going to be real tough to beat. And, you know, we kind of had set our goals at the beginning of the year, team-wise, was to try and get up there and compete with those teams. You know, we were just below 500 last year in the conference, and I know our kids want to do better than that. And I guess I kind of put us as, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get there about, you know, third, fourth, somewhere in the conference, if, you know, if you can climb up. And then if you can win a knock somebody off somewhere along the line, then you can, you know, maybe pick up another spot somewhere there. I know Iowa Valley is going to be a real, real tough team for everybody to play. Sigourney's playing real well right now, too. I see they're off to a 2-0 start in the conference. So, you know, I think it'll be a battle all the way through. And, you know, I like the chances with the kids that I have going in there. you know, that they're going to play hard and they're going to get after it every time out. We got a lot of, like I told the kids last night, I said, we just got to get more mentally tough. And, you know, because I thought that really killed us in game two last night. We're up 24-20 and end up getting beat. And you know, it's tough. And I just told him, I said, well, you got to be mentally tough. So we talked about that in practice even tonight. You know, just I put him in those situations. I said, you're up 24-23. You got to finish the game, you know. And I thought the kids, you know, they kind of looked at me like, you know, you're kind of rubbing it in from last night. And I said, no. I said, we got to get in those situations and play that way. And, you know, I think they kind of understood that. And we've never really done that much before. So I think that's something that, you know, I just kind of changed tonight. And, you know, we got to do that and see what happens.
Well, you know, you mentioned a couple things there, Dan. Number one, I've had the opportunity to watch some of those games, and a couple things that you said that really resonate with me is your team never giving up. Now, you talked about the tough situations they get in. Yeah, you know, every team's got to mature and be able to fight through some of those types of situations where you're up 24-20 and then you end up coming on the short end of the on the stick. I think that's going to come as I look at your team and watch your team. That's going to come as time passes. You also mentioned a couple teams, and that was going to be one of my next questions to you. As you look at the conference in general, you know, there's not a lot of easy games for your team as we move forward. You mentioned Iowa Valley being strong. You mentioned Sigourney playing real well right now, which I know we've got them coming up in a few weeks. But you know, a couple weeks ago back in a tournament, a team in our conference that a lot of people had high expectations for, that your squad was able to come in and knock off the Belle Plaine team. So it doesn't get easy as you move throughout the season. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a great year, a growing year for your girls. But as you see the conference stacking up, what do you tell your girls to prepare for all these very good teams at Iowa Valley, Belle Plaine, North Mahaska, which you got behind you, Sigourney and so on, BGM.
Yeah, we got BGM Monday, but yeah, that's what one of our biggest things right now is we just got to make sure our defensive kids, you know, we get in the right position, make sure we're down on our defense and ready to dig some balls up. But and I guess, you know, tonight in practice I started hitting the girls a lot more just to give them, and they're, you know, they kind of looked at me like, why are you gonna hit the ball so hard? That's why I said, this is what the girls do. I mean, this is what teams bring at you, you know. And we got the girl Belle Plaine, you know, Cam Phil Pope, she's probably one of the best hitters in the state. And I know Southeast Iowa here, that she really brings it at it. North Mahaska had some good girls come at some. The Carter girl from Sigourney, she hits the ball hard. And you know, that's just one thing our kids, it's hard for us to emulate that in practice, just the fact that, you know, we don't have a lot of, unless you put your top kids against each other with Kelsey and Madison, unless they're hitting at each other all the time, it's hard for us to get that going in practice every day. And, you know, so that's one thing, I got in there to hit a little bit tonight and serving hard at them and things like that, just so they can start getting used to that. But I think like you brought up the point about the growing pains, we're going to have a lot of those I think this year. But when you look at it, we are a very young team. You know, we got a lot of young kids playing. Like I said, Kelsey's our only senior. Madison's a junior. She played quite a bit last year. But other than that, the kids didn't play a lot last year. You know, we got Brooks Heron in there the first time. Callie's really coming in playing, you know, and it kind of got her out of position right now. I'd love to use her as a libero player, but right now I got to have her on the floor for all the time because she hustles so much that, you know, I kind of got her out of where I'd really like to have her playing. But if we can get somebody else to come up and be a hitter, you know, then she can kind of get back to her more natural position. But, you know, she's just going to go hard at it every time when she plays. And then Maggie Baker's kind of out of position right now, too. She was kind of a right-side player, and I got her in the middle now. But, you know, I think the kids have adjusted to that well. And, you know, they're trying to thrive in that. And I just think the more, you know, more repetitions we throw in practice, I think we're just going to continue to get better. And like you said, there's not going to be any easy nights in the South Iowa Senior League. Everybody's going to be coming at each other, and they're pretty even teams, and it should be a lot of fun all fall.
Yeah, you know, your team is a lot of fun to watch, you know, and as I've said a couple of times, I've had the opportunity to watch them, and they are fun to watch. I know you got a big week coming up. Monday night's a big night. You've got can you tell us a little bit about what you got going on there Monday night prior to the game and everything there in Kyoto?
Yeah, sure. We got a potato bar. The Booster Club's thrown in there. I think it starts at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and supper time for everybody to come in there. And we always start our first home match every year with parents' night, and so that'll be real good. And you know, the boosters will get everything going and get everything out and get everybody excited, bring all the parents in, and you know, just kind of have a real good, exciting night. And I think it's gonna be a great match with BGM. They knocked off North Mahaska the other night, so. You know, it's going to be another tough challenge for us. And one of our goals every year is trying to win every match at home. And, you know, so we know we're going to have to come out and really be able to play and put things together and see if we can get a win that night. But, No, it'll be a fun night. There should hopefully be a lot of people in there. I saw a couple posters up in the school for a purple out, so they want everybody to get the purple shirts on and come out and support the girls, and it'll be a good night at volleyball starting at 6 o'clock.
Well, great. You know, all those listeners back in Kyoto that want to come out and support that volleyball team, please do so. I know they're a very exciting team to watch. Going to be an exciting year for Coach Stout and his group there in Kyoto as we move forward. Well, Coach Stout, I want to thank you very much for coming up to the booth over at halftime and giving us a little rundown on your team. Bring us a little luck here in the second half.
We're going to need some here. We've got to get to stop that quarterback a little bit.
it's been an exciting one to call from up here in the booth. But in all honesty, thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule to come up. Tell the folks a little bit about your team. It's a young team, exciting team to watch. Wish you all the best this year with your girls.
All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Yep. Well, that was Coach Dan Stout, volleyball head coach at Kyoto, giving us a rundown on his team, who started conference play last night in North Mahaska, came up a little bit on the short end of the stick, but still a lot of hard-fought matches and a very exciting group of girls to watch. So those of you listening back home, don't hesitate to come out to the Kyoto High School next Monday night, as Dan said, Coach Stout said, starting at 4 o'clock with the potato bar. Folks, I will vouch, it is a very, very, very good meal. Well, Mike, you've had a little bit of time. I don't know if you were able to catch many statistics over the first half. Is there anything in particular, Micah, that sticks out to you?
I think offensively, it kind of looks like there's been four main guys rushing the ball there for SK as we get through there, and it looks to me like number one Griner has 7 rushes for 38 yards. Siren has 6 rushes for 8 yards. Lyle has 3 rushes for 8 yards. Strigl has 1 rush for 4 yards. Passing looks to me like Lyle has made 8 attempts for 105 yards, I believe. Greter has made 1 pass for 5 yards, and then receiving, and these are unofficial, folks, but Griner, I actually don't have those totaled up quite yet, so we'll just move to the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, defensively, we've been on the field. Our defense has been on the field quite a bit here in the first half. Wilton's been very very prolific in the passing game, and that's something that I think we're going to have to kind of shore up here in the second half. But still, a lot of good plays made up front, a lot of good pressure being put on Hetzler there in the backfield.
I agree, and for tackles as we get through there, it looks to me like Green has 1 tackle, Berg has 1 tackle, Strigl 3, Horace has 3. Fowler has 3, Griner has 2, Lyle has 1, Greter has 2, Nate Searin has 1, and then a great big tackle for Lyle loss that Fowler had also, so that actually gives him 4 tackles. I know Griner, he ran down a couple plays there right on the edge, and he had a couple guys that he shoved out of bounds here and there. That he's made some completions, and the same thing on the other side. So it's kind of, the one thing about it, and I know that doesn't seem like very many tackles, but when most of the passes are made to the outside and they're either running out of bounds or the way it seems are running for big gains, or either that or being incomplete, there's not a lot of tackles gone. I mean, other than a couple times they've gone in the power eye set, the pistol, the one time we've seen it, they've really liked to spread this ball around to the outside. And the big thing for me, coming from a defensive coach background, what kind of pressure are we going to be able to put on this quarterback in the second half? I think that's really key, from the defensive side of things. We need to he can't just sit back there and be able to throw the ball.
Micah Hetzler has kind of had his way with our defense here in the first half, and He's one of those guys. We saw a really good quarterback last week in that also down at Pekin, but I thought he'd be one of the best we saw. Now, I'm not taking anything away from him, But this Hetzler kid is, I got a feeling he's going to be one of the top here in Class 1A. Regina's got a real good quarterback there in Marv, Coach Cook's son. But this kid is, he can move, he can get out, he can pass the ball, he's accurate, and he can move when he's on the run as well.
And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing, Amos, you talk about is his ability to move in the pocket and step up and take off when he needs to. You know, when we do send some pressure, he's able to step up and force things and force the issue, and he takes off, and then everybody's back, and he's able to pick up some yardage. So that's a little bit frustrating for the guys, and he's going to be a hard one to control there the second half. A couple halftime scores, Amos, I got for you here. Right now, Elvia, 28. Clark Osceola, 0. Sheridan, 0. Norwalk, 7. Second quarter. Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont, 25. Cardinal, 6. Wayne, 2. Mormon Trail, Garden Grove, 6. Davis County, 14. I-35, Truro, 6. First quarter. North Mahaska, 14. English Valley, North English, 14. Third quarter. This one in the third quarter, Peak and Packwood, 14. Linville Sully, 7. Indianola, 7. Lewis Central, 10 in the second quarter. And that's all we got for us right now here, Amos.
Well, thank you, Micah, for updating us on those scores. You know, a lot of those are interesting. Peak and Packwood, obviously the Cobras' opponent last week, leading Glenville Sully. Sully, obviously a pretty good team. I think they were getting some notoriety early in the season in Class A as one of the top 10 teams in the state. So to see Pekin top them 14-7 here through the second quarter says a lot about the quality of team they've got down there in Pekin. Also, you know, that Eddyville, Blakesburg, Cardinal score, those are two district teams that we'll be keeping our eye on here throughout the broadcast as we move forward. I know Cardinal had kind of a tough go of it last week. Eddyville, I believe, came away with the win against Linville Sully. So it'll be interesting to see how the night shakes up. We gotta get the Cobras in gear here in the second half to get some offense put together. They do receive the ball here. Wilton will be kicking off to the Cobras. A little different set this time. We got Colton Greiner and Derek Bird back deep this time to receive.
Yeah, that's the way it looks, Amos. It looks like Colton and Derek are back there, and hopefully we get a good return here and get a good start to the third quarter.
So here we are. There's the kick to start the second half, and it looks like it's kicked to Bird, taking it about his 15-20-yard line. He moves forward for a hard spot, 5, maybe 6 yards, up to about the 25-20, so let's call it the 26-yard line. It'll be 1st and 10 for the Sigourney Kia Cobras from their 26. We need to see, you know, they're towards the end of the second half. Lyle came out and Greder came in, but it does appear that Lyle is back in. He might have just dinged himself up a little bit. He is in back under center in that single wing. They come out in single wing. They've got Swearingen split to the right. Here's Greiner. Greiner with the ball. He was back to pass, but he's being pursued. Throws a dangerous pass, very dangerous pass across his body, trying to hit Lyle there as Lyle handed it off to him and then ran a route. But Greiner was hopping around back there being pursued very.
Yeah, I think that was one of those things. It was kind of a throwback pass to the quarterback out to the flat there, and they had it sniffed out pretty well. They kind of seen it coming. The linebackers are out in the flats and kind of waiting, and Colton about got himself in trouble there, throwing us some pretty heavy traffic. Big down here, 2nd and 10.
Greiner in motion. Lyle with the keeper, it appears. Nice gainer. There again, Mikey, you talk about the push that we get up front off that line.
And Lyle did a good job plowing forward. He took it straight up the middle there, picked up about five. He's going to bring up about third down and five.
Yeah, great push. I mean, the initial push up front between the center and the two guards. They got a great push, and I expect big things to come from them here in the second half.
Griner in motion again. This time, Strigel with the keeper, the blocking back with the keeper. Nothing going, though. Swarmed by Wilton. Might have got back to the line of scrimmage. It's going to bring up fourth down and five, and no doubt they're probably going to bring on the punt team. Not the way Coach probably wanted them to start the third quarter, doing a three and out, but it is what it is. There again, it goes back to this Wilton defense has been extremely stingy all night long.
I do really like the play calling coming out here in the third quarter. You know, a couple different things that we've seen. You know, we try to control the clock and run the ball, and a return here by 32, the way it looks.
32, Snyder with the return, Strigel with the punt. There is a flag, and I believe this flag will be on Wilton.
I believe so. Flag back down there about the 48 of Sigourney Kyoto.
Flag does fly. It'll be interesting. It is holding against Wilton. Fairly nice return. Snyder took the ball from his 32-yard line, returned it up to about the Sigourney Kyoto 48. But they will assess the penalty from that spot,
and this should be from the spot of the foul, so we'll march back, should be able to march back 10 here, and it'll be first in town, 10 Beavers. Big defensive series for the SK Cobras here. We need a big stop here with the Beavers coming down in the first series of offense. And they're in the shotgun again.
Yep, in the shotgun, just underway here, third quarter. Wilton up 27-7. Here's Hetzler. No, with a little pitch.
Shovel pass underneath. Colton Griner comes up and makes a big-time hit on the running back. Totally sniffed that one out. It's a two-yard gain. It could have been a lot bigger. I mean, he was a corner out there, and he kind of saved that thing because there's a lot of green out here.
There was a lot of green out to the left. If Colton would have made that tackle, it would have been went for big yards. So nice play by the Cobras. Here is Hetzler in the gun again. He's back to pass this time. Good pursuit. Thrown just a little bit low by Hetzler. That's one of the very few passes he hasn't had on the mark tonight, you know.
Great coverage out there by Green and Greider also. They were right there, and those guys need to be recognized. If that ball is thrown good, I think we're still out there, and we make a good play on the ball. So third down and eight is the way it looks.
Hetzler back in that gun again. Three receivers set to the right, two receivers set to the left. Hetzler back to pass. Getting pursued. Oh, he trips himself. And he is down for a fairly sizable loss. Kind of looks almost like he kind of caught his heel.
Kind of looks like he caught his heel on the offensive guard there. Fowler had a great push up the middle. He had a great push up the middle and kind of knocked the offensive guard back. And I think because of that, I think, he knocked him back into a
fine situation. Cover. Here's Griner back deep to receive the punt. Oh, he lets it roll. Oh, he does pick it up. He picks it up at about the 30, and he's out of bounds at about the 35. So the Cobras will start first and 10 from their own 35. Micah, I tell you what, they need to get something going here. We need a big play during this series. They need to punch this thing in to get some momentum moving in their direction.
I couldn't agree more, Amos. You know, that's a big set of downs there for the defense to come up with a big three and out coming out of halftime. They seem like, you know, the momentum's kind of switched a little bit as far as that goes, and hopefully we get some of the same on the offense.
Well, here's Strigel with the keeper up the middle, the blocking back. Gain of about two, maybe three. We haven't seen that play all that often tonight. But good hard running by Cole Strigel there. He did actually pick up about three, maybe four.
Yep.
So it's going to bring up second down and six
we'll call it six, from about the 40-yard line. Man, it's a beautiful night tonight,
gorgeous,
isn't it?
Gorgeous.
This is so much better than the last 2 weeks where it's been.
That ain't no joke.
Extremely hot in the press box. Here's a direct snap to Bird. Bird with a nice spurt up the middle, but man, Met.
He gets it down in a hurry. There's a big time play by a linebacker filling the gap there.
Nice move, though. Great quickness there by Bird. I mean, he got that ball and he took off. It looked like it was going to be. It was a huge hit. There again. I mean, these Wilton Beavers are closing the gaps quickly. They're fast. They're stingy when it comes to giving up yards. It's going to bring up third down and about six from the 41-yard line.
That's the thing, Amos. It looked to me like, you know, he shot up that hole so fast, it looked to me like it could be an 8-9-yard gain. And, you know, the linebacker really just filled that gap so fast. You know, and it's one of those things with those offensive linemen, you know, getting off their first initial blocks and then blocking second level. You know, we need to get a hand on those linebackers, and then we'll be able to get something up the middle. You know, for the most part, our running up the middle of the field has been very limited tonight. You know, the running to the outside, whether it be with Griner, or Lyle on a couple different plays, that we've been able to bounce a few things outside. But those offensive line, their first initial contact is really good. First initial push is good. We just need to be able to drive them upfield and get off and get on those secondary blocks.
You're right.
And brings up a big third down here. Third down and six. Big set of downs here for the Cobras.
You know, Mike, it's been a while since the Cobras have been able to capitalize and get a first down. And, I mean, it dates back to the early part of the second quarter. So this is big. We need to capitalize and get this first down here. Lyle back to pass. Being pursued, not looking good. Brought down by a whole host of Beavers in the backfield. Loss of about... Big loss. Big loss there. It's going to bring up about fourth down and 12.
I think it's one of those things, Amos, you know, the defensive line got such a good push there in the offensive line that just it didn't quite sustain our blocks. Too many guys looking in the backfield. Bad snap.
This is not good. Bad snap. Sharon does pick it up. He slaps him. He's got some running room and then some, and then he turned something bad into
about a 30-yard gain.
Yeah, the problem is that was fourth down, so it's just been one thing after another just killing these Cobras tonight. It is simple mistakes. I mean, just like right there, fourth down and long, bad snap. Nate did all he could to get that thing back and make it a little ground up.
Well, he makes a great play. Sneaks through a couple tacklers' arms and bounces through the outside. But just a bad deal all around.
Kessler under center this time. A little different set than what we've seen. And
back
Snyder with
the formation.
Back into the I formation, exactly. And Snyder moves forward for about 5 yards. It's starting to wear on these Cobras, you can tell. It's just been one bad bounce after another for him tonight. Still not out of this deal, though. You know, we're 27-7, 6:38 left to go in the third quarter. Cobras just need to stiffen up their defense here and try to keep these guys from putting her in the end zone. Etzler under center again in that I formation. This time the handoff to Snyder. Snyder still moving forward. He's having his way up front. Another pickup of about four. It's going to bring up about third down and one. From the 34-yard line, hurry-up offense. They are just moving. Apparently a fumble on the play. Looked to be a fumble on the play, and in fact it was. Recovered, though, by Wilton. It is going to bring up a fourth down. Mike, I don't think there's any chance they're going to punt here. I think,
the way it looks like it, Amos, I think this is Beaver territory, and then they're going to go. And they come out in this high formation once again. Yeah, under center is Hetzler, playing close to those linebackers in that 3-5.
Oh, he throws a quick slant. Covered well, but still not enough to keep them from picking up the first down. It's just, they're very well coached. You know, I believe their coach is the son of West Branch coach, and you know, this guy knows his football, and he knows how to take care of business here on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. They don't waste any time in getting up to the line. Kessler in that I formation again. He's going to toss this one up. Oh, he's got a guy open. It is a very, very good play by
Gratter. Great play by Gratter. He gets his hands up in front of the receiver. He knocks that down, just about picks the ball off. He was right there, stride for stride. A little out and up pattern by the wide receiver, and he was there stride for stride. If he doesn't make that play, it's six, unfortunately, but he makes a great play on the outside from his cornerback position there.
Yeah, you know,
it looks to me like they moved Griner back to safety, and now Gretter's out there on the corner spot.
I was just going to mention that. Here's Hetzler with the keeper on the option, and this is Snyder with the ball on the option. Man, when he gets the wheels turning, he moves fast. Easily picks up the first down.
Griner on the tackle there on the outside.
Carries the ball down to about the 12-yard line. It's going to bring up first and 10 from around the 12.
And he is sneaky fast on the outside, Amos. I mean, he gets that bounce on the corner, and he's a tough one to take down because, you know, like Griner, he's really elusive on the outside.
Here we go with a play up the middle. I'm not sure. I haven't seen that individual in a while, but
looks like Fowler made the tackle there on the inside. About 3-yard gain. Fowler makes a nice play up the middle.
Man, this Wilton team is quick to the ball. They spend very little time in the huddle. They're back. Hetzler in the gun. Got them split. Hetzler back dancing around. Good pressure by the Cobras. Hetzler lost it in the air. Schmidt goes up for it. It was a toss-up, but great defense there. Cobras keep it out of the end zone. That was kind of a toss-up there.
There's another great play by Gretter on the outside. They're kind of picking on, I think, maybe coaches, one of his things is move Gretter to the outside with a little more height and try to stop those wide receivers to throw into the outside. We're kind of matched up on, number 18 here on the outside, and I think that's maybe one of the adjustments we made a half.
Here we are with the option again. You get that Snyder out on the outside, and he just easily walks into the end zone. Hetzler to Snyder. Touchdown, Wilton. So with 3:57 to go in the third quarter, Wilton now up 33-7 over the Cobras. Starting to get a little... starting to get close to out of hand here.
I think it's one of those things. I hope the boys aren't holding their heads. I mean,
right.
Once again, a couple bad breaks away, a couple big plays, and they've kind of let this Wilton Beaver team back into the game. The biggest thing is moving forward in this game and moving forward the rest of the season, guys need to pick their heads up and move forward and work towards the rest of the game.
Yeah, Timson on to attempt the extra point, and it was good this time. That taking the score, 34 for Wilton, 34 SK7 with 3:57 to go in the third quarter. The cheerleaders down here in front of us are doing all they can to get the crowd fired up. I've been trying to get their attention, but they won't wave at us, Micah. But they are still having fun. Everybody's still having fun here at the game. Wilton set to kick off again.
the Cobras back deep for the Cobras. Reiner and Berg again.
Reiner and Berg back there in the backfield again.
It would be nice if we could we could put something together here, nice offensive drive.
No, I think it's a big thing for the offensive line to be able to kind of take control of this thing and, you know, get a good push up front and be able to run the ball. You know.
That was Berg, brought the ball out over the 33-yard line. Great. That will set the chains for first and 10 for the Cobras. Let's call it the 34-yard line.
.352 left there in the third quarter.
Showing a little bit of spread. They're doing something a little different. They got Griner split out far right. Nice little spin there by, I believe, Lyle up the middle for about three, maybe four. It's going to bring up second down and about six.
Better push by the offensive line up front. You know, their first initial contact, the defensive line was actually backpedaling, you know, and pushing back into those linebackers. Anytime you get 4 yards on the first down, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Griner split out again. He's not in that traditional wingback position. Lyle back to pass this time. I think, oh, and he lays it up big. And Griner there, oh, in and out of the hands. Griner had it, but it was just in and out. If that would have been caught, that would have been a big gainer for the Cobras. But in and out of the hands of Colton Griner.
Great play call of second and six. You know, that's a great time to take a chance here. Doesn't leave you in trouble. You know, now you're a third down and make a full situation. You know, take a shot down the field. They need some points. We need a shot of energy on the offense also. So, great play call by the coaching staff there.
Once again, Griner split out far right. Here's Lyle up the middle with the keeper. Short of the first down. Going to bring up about fourth down and about three. I'm thinking they're probably going to, I'm not going to make any suggestions here or anything.
I got an idea that we're probably going to go for it here, you know, fourth down. And it looks like a long two, maybe three, but it looks like we're going to kind of buckle our straps here and just see if we can't do this the old-fashioned way here.
In this single-wing set. Here's Griner in motion.
Great
push. Oh, great call play.
Great push. Quick snap.
Great push. Quick snap, great push up front. I'm not sure who carried that.
Was it Striegel?
It was Striegel. The blocking back.
Striegel with the blocking back. Quick snap.
Enough for the first down. Cobras back set. First and 10. Here's a handoff to Saren. He got a little running room there. Nice run, nice strong run by Saren.
Picks up about six. And you know what? The offensive line is really starting to get the groove and getting a good push up front. And, you know, the running backs are sticking right behind, right on their hip, and kind of following them through. You know, it brings up about a second in a short five. You know, right in there, and then, you know, this is a nice down to work here. Minute 38 left in the third quarter.
Griner split out right again. Here's Lyle, big pursuit from the right side. Oh, errant pass. Intended for Weber. Weber couldn't come up with it. Throwing just a little bit behind him, it appeared.
Looks to me like we got a flag thrown on the backside there, possibly a holding on one of the guards or tackles on the backside of the play as he rolled out. Just unfortunate. It looks like one more of those down and distance. We're kind of going to shoot ourselves in the foot. It's going to bring up second down and about almost 20.
Yeah, it's tough situation here. You know, I've seen more penalties called tonight on the Cobras than I did first 2 weeks combined.
I think they're just getting starting to get a little frustrated, but they need to keep their heads about them and execute. Here's the Cobras on second and about 20. Nothing on. Hand off given to Griner. Nowhere to go. Lost. Lost about a yard again.
So I think Wilton's defense kind of had that play sniffed out. I mean, they shot their two defensive tackles through the line really, really fast. They shot the gaps on that one and knocked the guard off from pulling. It shut that play down in a big, big hurry.
This brings up third and a long way to go. Here's Seren in motion. Lyle back to pass. Lyle with the keeper. He's going to keep it, and he's going to run. He's got running room. And he picks up about 15 yards, but he's still going to be quite short of the first down. He'll bring up about fourth down and about seven from midfield. Kind of a nice play there, but I believe they were probably playing prevent there.
Well, I think that one of those things, you know, is a kind of a broken play, and everybody was well covered downfield. And he made a heck of a play with his feet and just kind of took off and found a seam. And a nice job by Lyle moving down the field, and that's real good.
Well, here's Lyle with the pop pass across the middle. Nice.
Yes.
Nice play. Nice call. Good enough. And fourth and seven. The Cobras are able to pick up the first down. Kind of a gutsy little play there, but it worked to perfection. Nice reception by Kevin Weber. Going to move the chains, man. This is about the first breath of fresh air we've had in a while. They got across midfield. And maybe we'll be able to put something together here, put a nice drive together, and put a few more points on the board.
You know, a couple gutsy calls in fourth down, you know, to move this ball down the field. And, you know, it's got to be big for the kids. Just as a motivation or, you know, that type of thing, you know, we can do this. I mean, and they need to realize, you know, as a young squad, I know there's some young guys out there, and there's some seniors out there also, but, you know, these guys just, they need to be uplifted right now, and they need to know that, you know, a couple big mistakes away from being in this ball game.
You know what?
I mean, that's the unfortunate thing about tonight, Amos.
It's going to be interesting when we look back on this one and we look at the penalties that have been incurred by the Cobras. A lot of that stuff's just mental toughness, you know, making sure that we're not making the mistakes that cause those flags to be thrown. It's going to be interesting, and we can learn from it, but we've been in a lot of situations tonight, Micah, where we've capitalized, we've made first down only for it to be brought back as a result of holding penalty or a low block,
well,
something of that nature.
Well, and I couldn't agree more, Amos. I think, you know, those are drive killers. And, you know, we're first and 10 here for the Cobras.
Nice run by Cole Striegel.
Great play by Cole Striegel. He bounces that into the second level. Great push by up front. And he bounces that into the secondary, and we move the chains. Great play.
It's one of those situations there. Cole Striegel, you know, a kid that's got so much determination, so much desire to win a ball game, never gives up,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that was a sure sign right there. Great kid, great football player, still moving and playing very hard. Here's a nice little flat pass out to the flat to Weber, but nothing going. Very well covered by the Wilton Beavers. Gain of actually might have been a loss of a yard. Now they're going to say no gain, but they've been throwing that pass out to the flat a lot, hoping that maybe it'd be open, but it hasn't been.
Yeah, those outside linebackers and those corners are playing pretty tight, you know, with SK's running game. I think they're just playing pretty tight tonight, and they're not willing to give up anything, you know, as far as the run goes.
Oh, Lyle had some. Oh, my goodness. Hey, that looked good for a while.
Lyle had some momentum moving forward. Before he crossed that line, he gave a toss, trying to hit Weber across the flat, and in and out. Is there potentially a penalty flag on the field? It looks like there may have been one that I missed. Okay, this one we're going to have to wait for the call.
I didn't catch the call as he signed it in.
Sounds to me like ineligible receiver downfield.
One of those linemen must have slipped out of the backfield and kind of wandered downtown there.
There's no way it can be an ineligible receiver downfield because they're marking it off against Wilton. So, unfortunately, folks, we're in a position that we weren't able to catch the call. However, it is second, apparently first and 10 for the Cobras from the from about the 15-yard line. Here we go with Lyle with the keeper up the middle. Good push there by the front line. Lyle picks up 4. He's going to bring up second down and 6 from right around the 11-yard line. Lyle hobbling off the field again. Not sure what happened. So it is second and 7. Lyle came off the field. Not sure what happened there. Cooper's got a full backfield grinder in motion. Little mix up in the
push up front.
Yeah, a little mix up in the backfield there, Mike. But
the offensive line was there, and they had a great 3-4 yard push there.
And Cole Strigel just took that ball, and he just drove it forward.
Really hammered it forward. He did a nice job there getting a great push, and he really got his head down and lowered his pad level and drove his feet really, really well right there. Well, leaves us with about a 3rd and 3.
Oh, Griner with a direct snap. Oh, and he's caught back in the backfield, knocked down around the 10. Nothing going. Man, I'll tell you what.
They've got that sniffed out this first quarter.
Wilton, they have not allowed a lot of those plays that are our bread and butter to materialize here tonight. They are well prepared for this.
Well, they're well coached, I think. You know, I mean, they knew that was a bread and butter play last week, and they've been here and they've seen it, and they've learned to shut it down.
So here we sit on fourth and long, and nice pass, but it's going to come up way too short. Actually, incomplete. Pass to Strigel, incomplete. Ball is going to turn over to Wilton on downs. Nice drive, though. I mean, they came close. We got down there within the 10-yard line, just couldn't capitalize. And those are the types of things that are going to make this team better as we move along throughout the season, Micah, is understanding those types of situations where
I couldn't agree more, Amos. I mean, we had a great drive there, and here comes Welton again here in the spread. Pump fake. Flushed out of the pocket.
Oh, nicely thrown ball by Hetzler again. Hetzler hits Mays. Hits Mays on about a 20-yard gainer there. He is so accurate as a quarterback.
He does a great job of flushing out of the pocket and throwing the ball on the run. We had great pressure up the field that time and just slipped out the side.
Here's Snyder. These guys are not there, not giving up, man. They're keeping their horses in the ball game. And Snyder with a big gainer. He takes it all the way from around the 35 all the way down to the Cobra 25. It's up first and 10 from the Cobra 24, let's call it the 24-yard line. That kid, I'll tell you what, he's lightning fast.
And he is elusive. I mean, his side-to-side speed is really, really good. He gets out there in the flat, and, you know, he's hard to catch.
Roll back and down here. I tell you, they're keeping the heat. They're keeping their foot on the accelerator as they move forward here. 8:24 to go, fourth quarter, 34-7 Wilton. Mays with the carry. Brought down at about the 5, maybe the 6-yard line.
Looks like he is pushed out of bounds there by Horace. Nice play on the outside to force him out.
These guys are threatening again. We'll
and
see what the covers are made up here.
Wasting no time. Back hurry up. Eye formation.
Hetzler under center. Hand off to that Mays again, but hit hard just as he crosses the line of scrimmage.
Looks like Griner's right there along with Fowler, kind of
tough to see through the
Browns there also.
Through the haze, but Wilton wastes no time getting up to the ball. Setting that eye formation once again. Here's a handoff to Snyder. And Snyder's in for the score. Made that look easy, Micah.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's one of those things. I think, you know, the Cobra defense has been on the field so long now tonight. You know, the offensive line of Wilton's just been able to push forward and have their way, unfortunately, with the Cobra defensive line. You know, running that 3-5, you know, that's not always a great running defense. And, you know, you really got to have those dogs and those linebackers up there filling those gaps. And the offensive line is maybe just a little bit bigger from Wilton and kind of having their way.
Wilton on to attempt the extra point, and it is good again. That makes the score 41-7, Wilton over Sigourney Kyoto. That's a little more lopsided than I had expected, you know, at this point in time. I really thought we'd be able to stay a little tighter with these guys. You know, I didn't expect we would necessarily win this ball game, but knowing, you know, the caliber of team that we were up against, but I certainly felt that we could hold with them and hold within a couple, three touchdowns anyway.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Amos. You know, especially the fire that we showed in the first quarter, you know, the ability to, you know, come back from being a score down and marching right back down the field and punching one in. I thought these guys did a great job of, you know, persevering and moving forward and, you know, attacking some adversity in their face and moving the ball down the field. You know, like we've talked about all game, you know, it's been a tale of two teams. You know, the team that doesn't make any mistakes and moves the ball down the field,
yeah.
And, you know, team that makes a couple costly ones here and there. And, you know, it'll be a big thing for me, you know, as we get into the fourth quarter here, about seven and a half minutes left, you know, just exactly what kind of team shows up. This is big on building next week and the rest of the season as we move forward.
You're exactly right. It is. You know, to come off a couple wins and, you know, a non-district play and then open up with a team like Wilton, you know, is you know, that's a big feat. And, you know, you get all season then to play through the rest of the district and then end the season with Iowa City, Regina. You know, you got a lot of opportunity there to put a heck of a season together. Both teams ranked, you know, that they're playing tonight. And then at the end of the season, nothing to hold your head about. Here's Griner with a little toss. After the kickoff return, it took him up to about the 30.
Tossed back to Lyle, the way it looks.
Tossed back to Lyle. And a nice gain, you know, picked up about 7. It's going to bring up second down and 3 from around the 38-yard line. Cobra's not wasting any time getting back up to the line. In that familiar single wing sets, direct snap. I believe this direct snap was to Saren. Nothing going, though. Might have got back to the line of scrimmage. And bring up third down and four.
I think it's one of the things, Amos, you know, the Wilton defensive line just kind of had that one sniffed out. They had all the gaps filled, and we didn't get a great push from up front. Saren had a great push there. And a good leg drive that just kind of got stopped there short. And big down here, third and three.
Here's Griner. Griner got the end and then some. Very determined run here. Griner with about a 20-yard pickup. 21-yard pickup. Going to move the chains.
Great, Jabe. Great job by Colton there, bouncing that thing back to the inside after he bounced to the outside. He did a nice job of loosing from a couple of tacklers there, and they're right back up to the ball to snap it.
This time, a little trickery. I think Wilton didn't even know what was going on there. You know, we picked up about, these are the Bob Howard kind of plays here. Take you back about 10 years, you know, where nobody knows where it's going. That one there, I didn't even know where it was going. So that was a good pickup.
Second and a short one here.
So they're moving the ball, which is good. Cobra's fast to the ball here. Berg in motion. Berg with the ball, nice carry, enough for the first down. Now, Berg got more than enough for the first down, and then we had the Wilton boys just playing hard, just driving till the whistle. So we're going to move the chains again. Going to bring up first and 10 from the Wilton 26-yard line. Gophers might still got some hope here to maybe punch one in and feel good about what the offense is doing. Back to the single wing. Almost looked like somebody should have been offside there. Griner with the carry. Nice move. Nice move by Colton Griner. Carries it down to inside the 20. Pickup of about 8.
Another great cut by Colton there. He just bounced that thing. He actually bounced that thing back against the grain there, and the linebackers were flowing, and he kind of snuck right underneath them and made a guy miss there, and that's a big play.
It is. It's a big play. You know, the thing about Colton is when he does get hit, he continues to spin. Here's Griner again. He's got the corner, and he's headed for the end zone, but he's just short, knocked out at about the 2.
Now they're going to call it, they're going to be up in the middle there, call it a touchdown.
Okay, he must have dove to the pylon and got it across. And we're kind of in the corner here, folks, so apologize for the misconception on my behalf. But nice, just aggressive running by Colton Griner there to get it in the good determination.
Really stretched out, got that corner, and he stretched out, laid out for that pylon. That's just good, hard running by a real good, hard-working senior.
Absolutely good, hard-working senior. Loves to win, you know, hates to lose kind of deal. And that's what we all ask is for kids that want to give 100% all the time, regardless of the score. Strigger on to attempt the PAT. I believe that was no good. That brings our score to Cobras 13, Wilton 41 with 4:02 left in the fourth quarter. We haven't lost our spirit here at Sigourney County, even though this is a what I would call a beat down.
We sure haven't. You know, the cheerleaders out there going at it yet, and the crowd's all into it, and hardly anybody's left their stands, and You know, the one thing you know about SK football, you know, they got great support from two towns and, you know, from all the surrounding farmers and everything there. And, you know, they come out to watch SK football.
You know what, Micah, you know, we're gonna be together on a number of these broadcasts as we move forward throughout the year. And we're not going to run into opponents as stiff as Wilton every week. So we're going to see a lot of good football. And we're going to see a lot of good football where we end up on the other end of the stick. But it looks like it might be just a little too far out of our
hooch kick there.
Little hooch kick there, taken at the 40 by Wilton and move forward to about the 44. Looks like a lineman might have taken that one.
Yeah, I think one of them front line guys, they tried to pooch it over top him, and he jumped up and grabbed it and took off running. And at least the SK guys there in the front line were aware enough to grab it and to get him down before he made any yardage out of it. But it looks like it'll be first down and 10 from about the Wilton 44.
Looks like Wilton's going to keep their gas on the pedal. They ain't pulled their powerhouses out yet. They still got Helsler at center. And they got Schneider and Schrader in there yet. In the I formation, here's a nice play by the Cobras on the run there. Number 24, Mays. Mays a junior. Quite a bit smaller back than Schneider, but still a nice gain, 5 yards.
And getting in on the tackle there is Curtis Klett there. I think that's about the first time we've seen him. We kind of went to a four-man line here now.
Mays again with the carry. Good enough for a first down. Pickup of about five. I believe that's enough for a first down. See where they stop the ball. They are going to, in fact, call a third down.
Curtis Klett and John Mather in there on the tackle again. They got a great push up front and did a nice job of closing down that gap.
Yeah, you were starting to call some names. We got some people. Sigourney Kidd has got some people in there that we don't normally see, which is a good thing, you know, to get them in, get them a little experience. Here's a handoff to number 20. I don't even have a number 20 in my program. Must have been a late arrival to the Wilton program. But he did pick up enough for first down.
Nice push by the defensive line of the Cobras there, though. You know, all four of them are out there. They got a great drive upfield, and they knew what was coming, and they did a nice job of driving upfield. Just unfortunate, you know, he just snuck through a gap there, but... they did a heck of a nice job getting upfield.
You know, in at quarterback now for the Beavers is Javon Drake. So they have elected to pull Hetzler out. They think they've got this one pretty much in hand. And the Cobras have done the same. They brought some individuals in that don't normally see as much time, but this is a great opportunity for them to get some field experience and
nice
and
play by Derek Berg there. Nice place by Derek Berg making the tackle there on the outside, forcing things back in. It brings up second down in about a short three, I believe, Amos, and we'll kind of see what Wilton does here.
Drake in under center now. Hetzler is out in that I formation. Hand off to the fullback. Fullback goes left side, but met immediately right at the line of scrimmage.
Mather makes a great play there. You know, he really drives up the field. And,
that's good. You know, John called his name a lot the first week down in Central Lee. It's good to see John get in and get some minutes under his belt and continue to hone his game. Glad to hear John in on the game here tonight. Here's Mays with a run to the right side. Nothing going.
It's great play by Berg and Boonder there. Stepped up and, you know, forced a big fourth down. Fourth and four. You know, field position here for Wilton, you know, I don't know necessarily if they punt. They're about on the SK 38. I think the way it looks, they're going to take a timeout here.
Well, actually, you know, there's 9 seconds left, Micah. We can't see the clock. I just stepped over here to the corner. This game is over. You know, a hard-fought game, Micah, by the Cobras. They came out as they have all week, all year long, you know, and got behind early. Unfortunately, tonight they couldn't answer touchdown for touchdown like they have in weeks past. And they did answer on that first touchdown. They put a nice drive together and tied it up 7-7 early on there in the first quarter. But Wilton just a little too much for the Cobras tonight. They're a good football team. I mean, both sides of the ball. They got a lot of weapons. You know, we talked about Hetzler. We called his name a lot tonight under center or in the shotgun. We talked about Schneider. We talked about Schrader. But defensively is where they really impressed me, is they did a hell of a job shutting these Cobras down. Any offense the Cobras tried to muster up, they shut down.
Well, I think that's just it, Amos. You know, as we kind of work through the first quarter on, you know, Wilton kind of had a tough time with that outside run, you know, with Griner getting the edge and things like that in the first quarter. And, you know, SK even being able to throw the ball. And Wilton kind of had fits with it in the first quarter. And they made some adjustments, and that's what good football teams do. You know, I've been fortunate enough to be a part of a few good football teams, and good football teams make adjustments, and they're able to, attack adversity in the face and push forward, and not that SK is not a good football team, because I think they have a lot of future and a lot of the things to move forward from here, they need to learn and they need to grow and we need to move forward. Wilton's a good football team. They got a good couple players, that quarterback and the running back, and real strong defense. And they're going to give a lot of people fits there in District 6. There's no doubt. And they need to be recognized for a heck of a game they played. It is what it is. I mean, I wish we could change things from here on out, and then we need to eliminate some mental mistakes, but it was a heck of a good football game. And I'm glad that we showed the poise and the pressure we did there in the fourth quarter, and that's a big thing.
It is. I mean, I got to agree with you in the fact that we need to move forward and learn from our mistakes. You know, Micah, I've had the opportunity to call the first two games of the year last week with Tim down in Beacon, and the thing that I guess is most frustrating is the number of penalties that this team had thrown on them tonight. You know, so many times we come up big with a first down only for it to be called back, and those are the types of things that they're going to have to, coach is going to have to work with these kids on this week moving forward is to make sure that we are doing things right. Now, a couple of those penalties, questionable on my side.
I couldn't disagree more. There's one out here on this side. But, you know, it is what it is, and you got to move forward.
But those holdings and those blocks and so forth, we've got to get better so that we can execute things the Sigourney-Kyoto way, and we take care of business on the field. So, you know, very disheartening that we come away with the loss here tonight and opening game of district play. But you know what? I don't think that the road gets a lot tougher until the last game of the season. I'm not taking anything away from the other teams in this district, but I'm just saying that I think we opened with a very strong team in our district. We end with a very strong team in our district. And I'll tell you, from here on out, you know, it's one of those things that we need to take care of business. We need to play Sigourney-Kyoto Cobra football. And if we do that and we execute well, we will come out on the winning end. You know, we're capable of doing it. We got the athletes to do it. We got the desire to do it. We just need to go do it. And nothing to hang our heads about. We knew this was a good team coming in. They showed it on the field tonight. They got a lot of weapons. They're going to go a long way in Class 1A. We just need to we need to make sure that we do the right things this week as we prepare for next week's game.
I couldn't agree more, Amos. And I think you know, you kind of hit the nail right on the head. You know, we're just a few mental mistakes away from being from a good football team to being a great football team. And so as we move forward from here, I hope the kids understand and they realize, you know, it's just football is a game of inches. You know, I had a great coach tell me that once. Football is a game of inches. And, you know, as you move forward, it's the little things that matter. You know, high school kids don't always understand that, by God, they'll figure it out by next week. I bet you.
I bet you
they
do.
Got a great coaching staff, and we'll move forward from here. So, great game by the Cobras, great game played by the Wilton Beavers, and it was a heck of a great night to be out on a Friday night in Iowa football.
Couldn't ask for a better night. You know, Mike, a great opportunity to work with you tonight. Look forward to working with you throughout the season as we move through. I know there's a couple games you're not going to be able to join me. It's going to be tough to find a replacement for you with your knowledge of football. But next week, I believe we travel, we go on the road down to Wilton, down to Wapello to take on a District 6 opponent down in Wapello. So, folks, you know, those of you that have tuned in, continue to tune in. Hopefully you're enjoying what we do. We are definitely not professionals, but we're hoping that we bring you at least an idea of what's going on here on the field. And we definitely know that we're bringing you a correct score from time to time. So, you know, with that, we're gonna leave you with this next week down in Wapello. Tune in for those of you who don't want to make the travel. We'll be there, and hopefully we'll be on the other end of the win-loss column. That's it for tonight. This is Amos Graner for Micah Harmson saying good night, and thanks for tuning in.